do this a little
Giant.
bit. This camera is a game changer.
You
Yeah,
look
I will
good.
say it's a nice camera. I gotta step up my game from my Apple computer.
Well, it only costs like $150.
Really?
Yeah, like we've spent way too much money on so much stupid shit. Like, I can't even really begin to tell you. Like, you can tell the difference in the quality of my camera and Ryan's camera, even. I'll just give this
Yeah.
another try. Let's see how this works.
Well, mine was an $80 camera.
I'm not trying to insult you. Don't take this as like a personal attack. I'm just saying, like,
It is
it's
a personal
amazing
attack.
once you find something that's more high quality,
Yeah.
the way that it looks. Like, I didn't really know.
That's
And
better. That's better. It's not as washed out.
warm glow.
Still a little warm, but it looks good. That looks good. Leave it. Don't move it. It's better than what it was.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. How about now? Too much?
Nah, we can see your beautiful face. Just leave it.
Oops. I mean, I'm trying to figure this
We'll
stuff
get
out. It's very
it we'll get it
difficult.
dialed in.
I feel beautiful, guys.
You're beautiful.
B E
I'm just gonna
A.
say,
Beautiful.
guys, check it out. It's
I like
gonna take
that.
a while for us everyone to get on, but you know, we're gonna let this kind of build up. This is what we call Coach's Corner, and this is where we take the opportunity where once a week, like we're gonna try to intentionally bring guests in, and then once a week so that we can give like specific direction just to like, you know, nerdy shit about exercise science, training, nutrition, Viagra, whatever it may be.
Blue chip.
Yeah, you can talk about man stuff, and because it's important. We've looked at our stats, guys. There's only 12% women that subscribe to anything that we basically do on average. So it's basically the dude show. Whenever we do see a girl, we all get really nervous. We're like, whoa, what do we do?
Yeah, I personally, to kick off with this, I think High Rocks is a great place for women to really get involved because, like we've talked about that before, CrossFit, it's such a high level of entry to go into like any competition, and High Rocks, just like Ironman or any running event or anything like that, you can be in your age group and go out there, and I think High Rocks is another place where women could really take a jump and get the numbers up, especially while it's early.
Well, I will say after spending some time with Megan Jacoby,
She's a freak.
she's definitely the high watermark is there. Like you can't
I just
like
meant for the age group, at
yeah.
least.
I'll just say though, just giving her some respect, you know, there's a lot of people like I bump into them, they're like, yeah, my goal is Elite 15 this year. I'm like, cool. And for the girl side, you know, no disrespect, it just is thinner than the male side right now. And you know, you had people like Lauren Weeks at the top, who's like very, very dominant. And I've known her for years, and I know her well enough to say, like, after watching her, it's very hard to find somebody that fit and that well-rounded. So when she steps into something like High Rocks, you're like, yeah, no wonder she's a freaking beast. She always had a sick engine. She always was really good at basic CrossFit movements. And then all of a sudden you see this chick who looks like the Terminator show up, and she's as like buff as I am. And dude, the other day she was we had her on the show, dude. She
It was a good
texted me.
episode.
She was doing 3 by 2 miles, and she did all of them under 6 minutes. And the last two were at 5:22 pace.
But she said she was averaging 525.
That's fucked.
Yeah, she's a freak, dude. I'm like, I want to be like Megan Jacoby when I grow up.
That's a hard day for anybody. I don't
Yeah.
know much more than five guys in the elite field that could do that workout.
No, especially with her physique, I don't know anybody in any sport that could do that workout.
Yeah.
Unless you're just a pure runner and you're not going to look like her at all.
She did it, dude. She had this perfect formula where she put it all together. This guy A, yeah, dude. High Rocks just launched its Birmingham race, and they've already sold out all of the tickets.
Damn.
This sport is selling out so quickly everywhere; it's insane. I mean, dude, there is just—I think there's over 70 events globally now, and every single one of them is selling out. The United States, I still don't get why nobody gives a shit about it here. Like, I'm actually going to go compete, I think, on March 2nd, an event called Turf Games around here. And I'm just going to go see how well it's run. But
yeah,
I don't know where people in this functional fitness scene are going to compete. Like, what makes them so busy? Because I see every turd under the sun posting about doing functional fitness workouts all day long. I'm like, where do you guys go and
they
get all this?
They don't actually compete, dude. It's all YouTube, Instagram, fluff, fitfluencer shit. They it's just, I'm a hybrid this and that. And I'm like, look, I'm not knocking. They have great businesses and they have a shitload of followers, but that's it. They don't actually go in a, it's just a workout lifestyle. And every now and then they go and enter something. It is not actually to do anything competitive by it.
Hmm.
All I see is training videos, training videos, training videos. And once in a blue moon, there's a couple of them out there that you'll see. We're like, okay, this dude's legit. He's actually going and doing a half Ironman. He's actually doing a marathon. He's actually doing a high rocks. He's doing a DECA, like something, versus just come and check out my hybrid lifestyle. That's it. It's just,
it's a title. It's a title of what they're doing, yeah, but you're not actually putting it to practice.
Yeah, it's interesting. I do look online and all these influencers. It's really interesting. Like, there aren't a lot of people with YouTube channels over in the UK and Europe when we go over there. Like, they're not influencer-based athletes, and they're all in on the HYROX community. And then you see all these people over here that have hybrid blasted all over their social media, but then never really show up to events.
Exactly.
And, like, they'll show up to, like, a random 5K half marathon or half Ironman or something like that, and then post all about it. But I don't know. I guess it looks like we're shitting on people, but I just don't understand why the community is not more into it. Like, you go to Austin, everybody's doing these style workouts. You go hang out around LA, everyone's doing these workouts. You go to New York City, everyone's doing these workouts. So I'm just wondering, like, what's happening?
I think people are scared that if they actually show up to an event and they don't do well, it makes their channel look bad. They're like, dude, I showcase so much that this is the lifestyle. I work hard. I put up these times, and it's a fear of maybe not having a reflection of those times in a race when people probably wouldn't give a shit anyway. They're like, hell yeah, dude, he's actually going out there and doing it. Like, I'm not the fastest Ironman out there. I have one race where I do pretty decent for me, and I have another race where I do horrible, and I don't care.
Yeah. I don't know why it's such a thing. Dude, you know what's weird? This is going to be sensitive to the people who are not ready for this. I literally have not slept very much in the past 3 nights, and I am waking up probably every 2 hours with a boner that could break a building in half.
Is it the she legit?
I don't know, dude. I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm just like erections all the time. And I'm like, I'm happy, but I'm unhappy.
That's happy,
up,
bro.
Wakes you up I'm at
like,
night?
I'm like, what the fuck is going on, man?
Is the dry January catching up, or was it the 70 days no hard? Is
75 no hard? Yeah, well, let me just tell you.
Where did that go as well as your cursing?
I would say that my goals for 75 no hard, cursing, and not drinking.
Miserable fail.
Yeah. But I'm fit as fuck, dude. I am beast right now. I had intentions. Awesome. I had high intentions. And
it's a thought that counts.
Yeah, dude. Like,
yeah.
But it's so weird. Literally, I went to bed last night. I was so tired. I went to bed last night at like 7:30.
Nice.
Up at 12:30. Huge boner.
That's a good. Yeah.
Went
that's a good
back
5 hours.
To bed. Woke up kind of around 3 with another one. Went back to bed. Woke up at 5 with another one. I'm just like, what the
question
fuck?
Is, how are you getting back to sleep?
Just jerking off all over myself. No, I'm
just night.
I'm not even getting out of bed.
Water,
I just have a towel and I just dap myself down. No, I'm trying to read. Like, I just started reading Jack Daniel's Running Method. You know what's a really cool thing? This is a good piece for Jack, for Coach's Corner. Let's see here, bitch. So a lot of people get so obsessed with VO2 max, and I've always said, like, VO2 max is just like it's a number. It's just like, you know. Let's just play along with this whole sexual reference. Let's just say you measure and you have a huge dick. That doesn't mean you're necessarily good in bed. So having a huge VO2 max number does not necessarily mean that you're going to be a great racer. And this is out of Jack Daniel's running method. He says right here, all three had identical VO2 max values and ran identical times in the 3,000 meters. Interestingly, the runner with the lowest VOV2, that's a metric of measuring economy and economy and VO2 max. So it's a double indicator. Here's where the interesting piece is. Interestingly, the runner with the lowest VO2 max was the U.S. Collegiate National Champion 10,000 meter and was the highest max. The one with the highest max was also a very successful international competitor. So you look at this and you say, hey, like I've got this, you know, super high VO2 max. There's dudes with 80s, like scores of 80s that I've just wrecked in races. Yeah.
Totally destroyed. Look at any marathon over decades of racing or the Tour de France. If it was only an indicator of VO2 max, the dude with the highest VO2 max would always win. And that's not the case.
I don't know if it was Alberto Salazar or Frank. What was his name? Frank. Gosh. He had like a score of like 65. And I think he took like, it was a medalist in the Olympics, like a 208, 209 marathoner, which is crazy.
Are you talking about his FTP test?
Like No. We're talking about VO2 maxes.
VO2 max. Oh. And 65 for an Olympian would be considered very low.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Like, I haven't had my VO2 max test in a while, but the last time I had it was like the lowest I ever had. I think it was like 62, and I've had a 71. And the more muscle you put on, the lower your score is going to be because it's your body's ability to process oxygen versus the, like, you know, against the amount of muscle mass that you have.
But 62 is still really good. And especially at your size, it's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I ended up, because of the way that this works, if I ended up going down to 170 pounds, I'd have a VO2 max in the high 70s. I think it would be measured either 81 or 82 potentially, because Rich Diaz has this graph where you can move things and it will manipulate it, basically show you what happens if you now all of a sudden switch the math up and you take off the weight with the same oxygen processing abilities. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of like doing your 1RM based off of like, oh, well, what weight did you do at 5 or 3 or whatever? Yeah. Like, what is, I was going to say 62 with your muscle mass is still really good. Because, I mean, there's age groupers out in triathlon or running events that have a 60 to 62, and they're moving.
I got
a
49.
They're also like 35 pounds lighter than you.
This guy OCI says, isn't it a factor of how economically your body is? I mean, marathoners have a good efficiency against short distance runner and they build their energy systems. I don't really know what you're saying, but the VO2 max is just the body's. Whoa. I don't know what just happened. Sorry. It's just the body's ability to process oxygen against muscle mass. So it's the amount of liters of oxygen your body can process per kilo. Yep. And you can't really work your way around that. Meaning your body can only process so much oxygen, but if you have more muscle mass, you know, it's basically, you've got a divider. And if it's 100 versus 100, it's 1. But if it's now all of a sudden like 80 over 100, it's like 1.2. So the lighter you get with the same amount of oxygen processing capabilities, it will continue to change that ratio in a more positive manner.
Yep. This is why you see sprinters, they're jacked. And this is why endurance, they're light.
Scrawny, screeny beanie.
Yep. Yeah, because it just, for one, the impact of carrying the weight, and because you want to be able to.
You know, I like Nick Hoyer coming in saying VO2 is 39 in the streets, but 69 in the seats. That's very clever.
Nice one. That's very clever. That's great.
Would you say that the Hyrox strength component and the muscular endurance are more important than VO2 score? Yeah, I mean, like, it's not necessarily entirely, and VO2 is going to get more important as time goes on. But you look at somebody like Graham or Bo. Some of these guys that don't necessarily have, I think we have a girl in here. Fuck. Don't forget
Debbie.
That. You look at somebody like Graham or Bo, who I would not look at saying like they're high VO2 max type athletes, but they have this incredible muscular stamina, which allows them to do like 100 wall balls at the end. And that's how Bo ended up qualifying for the world championships. all these people were at the wall balls and he showed up like, you know, in the middle of the pack and did 100 wall balls in a row. That's not because he has a high VO2 max. He's just got very, very efficient muscular stamina and was able to just crank out 100 wall balls. Now, I haven't been able to do that myself. Does that mean that I'm worse than Bo? No, because my cocktail mixed together allows me to be a better athlete. But he definitely has some advantages that are better than mine, but he just hasn't created a cocktail that can beat mine. But in reality, it's not the biggest consideration. I do want to get into this before we start to go way, way, way too into the weeds. Guys, I don't know how many people are tuning into the show right now, but we finally released the hoodies. Everything is on the site. Hoodies and water bottles. I will tell you guys right now, hoodies ship internationally. And when I say internationally, I mean all across the United States, all across the UK, and all across Europe. If you guys are in like Yugoslavia or Russia, Middle East, Africa, Asia, you're not going to get it. I'm sorry. And I would love to support you, but we just haven't been able to create a business that's able to ship that far. It would just not be worth it. We've set a price point, guys, so it does not matter wherever you're at in the world. We're going to get it to you, at least within our region. You'll be able to know when you click that. So it's all included. Your guys are going to get it. Once you buy it, it's pre-order, and you guys are going to get it around early to mid-March. So we're getting all this stuff, collecting all the data. I send it over to a warehouse. They stitch it all up. Like, these are very nice high-end stitches. You guys can see that. It's not like a press machine, so it takes a long time to make these things. They had to shut down the warehouse, and everything's stitched. It's like those really cool college hoodies that have, like, you know, Harvard stitched into it.
When is the water bottles? If they're going to ship, and this is a pre-order, what is the last day that they're going to be on the website? So, like, final day of sales, and then we're going to send it in.
Guys, really, I'm only going to run this thing until the 20th, and we're not going to really make these things again. You know, in all honesty, it's like, we're not an apparel company. People are always saying, hey, man, where can I get a patch? Where can I get a backpack? And we literally just, in all honesty, we love you guys. We built a brand to be really, really fun. And we're going to do this to the best of our ability to serve you guys and get you guys some cool swag. Other than that, like, don't expect this to become a swag company. We're going to have random merch drops every once in a while and have some fun. But this is your guys' best chance of getting it, at least in the next like 3 months or so. Stefan just asked, if you guys go, it's all on buildersports.com. Okay. It's not on the Builder International one. So,
but if you are, you know, if you are living in, let's say, Germany or Ireland, go to the, it's not going to be on Builder International for your hoodies, order them and, on the Builder, sports website, but you will get them.
Yep. All right. I'm going to go into, what the fuck is this? I'm going to go into the questions we got. You know, it's really weird, dude. After that whole experience, that trip experience, I just have had zero connection or like want to like reach out to people. I just am like this in this version of elation where I'm just sitting there floating. Excuse me.
Oh, better the attic than the basement.
Yeah. Is there shirt sizing chart? No. You should know yourself by now. If you're a large human, you get a large shirt. If you're an extra large human, you buy an extra large shirt. If you're a medium sized human.
You wear larges. Are you wearing a large right now or did you size up? Okay.
No, I'm in a large. I'm 600 pounds. Sorry, I'm over six feet tall and I'm 200 pounds. And you can see, guys, there's like some bag in the sleeves. I can reach up and like it doesn't like come down to my mid wrist. This is built for a taller human being. Like XL, Caleb was wearing an XL the whole time. Caleb's about an inch or two taller than me. And Caleb weighs 245 pounds. And he fit very comfortably into the XL. I'm assuming Ryan would be a large to a medium. Yeah. So like that's
I get
your
a large and I'm 6'2", 190.
Yeah.
If you are in doubt, I would probably size up then size down because we aren't doing returns either, just because of the way it's formulated and shipping costs and everything. Like, choose your size, and if you're in question, I would size up.
Yeah, usually limited edition stuff anyway is.
Yeah, like you spend the money, you get the hoodie. Yeah. All right, guys, we're just gonna say I'm going to answer San Diego Joey's question, and then we are going to go into the overall questions, and then you guys can ask as you go on. 6-2 crew, let's go. XL. Okay, so that's if you had to rank data in order of importance, most of all, volume, time, VO2, total distance, pace, heart rate. Well, I guess I'm going to be a little bit less. I'm not going to fall exactly into your lines. I think the most important thing that you can do is volume at speed would be my definition. So if you're going to try to run a race and you know that you want to hit sub 60, like you need to be doing as much volume as possible without like going backwards at 4 minute Ks or less. That's just the reality. And like, I can't have you running 5 minute Ks and expecting to run a sub 60 Hyrox. I know specifically that I'm not going to hit a 51 or a 52 unless I'm running 310 to 320 Ks often. And be able to hold on to it. It's just never going to happen. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. Like, I can have 20-hour work weeks and my goal. So let's just say I hit 10-hour work weeks, but I'm having two speed sessions that are fucking spot on, like absolutely amazingly spot on. I am going to get much closer to my goal than I am at 20 hours of just nonsense at non-speed. Because, like, there's somebody, I'll give you an example. There's this guy named Dylan Scott. And I think Dylan's very talented. I've always told him this. But I've also told him, I was like, dude, you train like shit and you perform like shit because of it. I told him a while ago, I was like, I'll coach you. When the year that I decided to quit, I told him I would coach him, but he'd have to, like, listen to me. And he's like, no, I have to do it my way. And that guy is never going to, in my opinion, don't take this as an insult, Dylan. I respect you immensely. And I think you're very talented. But he is never going to be one of the top dogs, like very, very top, because he's doing too much work and he's never going to reap the rewards from it. So it's just
recover and rest a little bit more.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Go to his social media channel at any time and go look at his crazy gross workouts that he does. If we ended up having a competition of doing five Hyroxes in a row, not two,
let's do it,
but like three and above, he would be the world champion. He would undoubtedly be the world champion because he is so efficient at moving over and over and over again. But there's no power behind it. I mean, the dude could not even hold a candle to my power. Just can't. He has no chance. And like, if you think about it, like go look at any sport. You're looking at these guys that are winning a marathons. Their most important sessions are speed sessions. And if you can't hang with them on the track, you're not going to hang with them on a race. If you go look at Tour de France or Ironman, it's all about watts on the bike. They're looking at how well they can generate and hold watts. You know, I was just watching a video of Lance Armstrong in 1999. He going up this hill was holding 500 watts for 30 minutes.
Jeez. 7 watts a kilo, mofos.
Yeah. So 500 watts. And I just was on the bike yesterday at almost 300 watts for an hour. And I was just holding it at like talking pace. I now all of a sudden nearly have to double that. I have to double that. And this, and I'm twice the size of that guy. And
yeah,
he's just
probably a buck 40 when he was racing.
Yeah. And he's just annihilating it. He's just absolutely annihilating it and generating power that I can't. That's why even if I decided and put every egg I have into the basket of going to the Tour de France, let's just say a freak chance I'm able to get light enough, I'm able to now qualify for a team. These guys are still so much further ahead of me because they're generating not only more power, but they're lighter. So same thing we were talking about with VO2 max earlier, it's power generated versus weight and oxygen absorbed versus weight.
Power to weight ratio in professional cycling is,
are they just doing
cool
crazy leg days too? You have to beef up those legs.
When you're at the pro level of cycling, there is I would say that definitely no matter what, the person that works harder in training to be better will win, but there's a predisposition automatically. You just have to have some natural uncanny ability to be a pro cyclist. There's no way around it. It is one of the hardest.
Part of it's the shape of your body. Part of it's your muscle tissue. You have to have a bunch of factors. It's the same way like a swimmer. Like a swimmer has a different kind of body type than a runner. They may have similar VO2 maxes, but this guy has basically a smaller waist than the average person, a bigger wing wingspan than the average person, and he has the lungs bigger than the average person. So that makes him a swimmer. And the same with a cyclist. A cyclist may have like a certain shaped femur, has really, really small bone mass, but has really, really big lungs. Same way with a rower. Rower is average, on average, taller than that person, has really, really big lung volume, has really big oxygen capacity, and is able to keep, like, every single time I do a pull, and I'm 6'2", I do a pull, and now all of a sudden there's a guy who's 6'7". If you go look at the guys who are setting the world records right now, 6'5", 6'7", they're pulling an extra, like, 6 inches plus per pull. Now, if you think about that, just do the basic math. If they're doing 30 strokes a minute, and I'm doing 30 strokes a minute, they're moving an extra 180 inches. And that is going to matter over six, like, you know, basically you're looking at nearly 1,000 inches over 6 minutes. And that's going to matter. Like, it just does. And same for all these people. There's independence features that make them superb.
Yeah. I remember when I was on the, we used to race bikes when I lived in New York, rowers would come in, guys that rode, you know, crewed in high school, college, and they were the lighter weight guys, and they would come into the cycling world, and from the get-go, they could just produce power. It was impressive. It was just, their capacity was through the roof compared to everybody else.
Sorry, the dog's going off, boys. I'm looking at the notes we got. Yeah, dude, have you seen Hamish Bond? Look up Hamish Bond. He used to be, he was the guy who was on the boat with that guy, Eric Murray, that we worked with. And he honestly just, he's a freak. He switched over cycling now and he's just absolutely annihilating it.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer a couple of questions, then we're going to get into these things. OCI, you're 5'5" and 143 pounds. Should I gain mass? OCI, the biggest suggestion I can give to you is go into our house training. Go buy the 20 rep back squat program. It's $90 and you need to invest in that. I'll just be honest, with your size, you will never be able to generate enough power to be able to sustain like a high output for HYROX. I don't know what class you're competing in, but that's my number one tip. That's why we have the 20 rep back squat guide on our website, because a lot of people like you come to me and they say, what do I do? And I'm like, well, what are your weaknesses? And they're like, well, I'm this size or I'm this speed. 100% invest in that program and it will guaranteed change everything that you've got going on right now and increase your capacity by, increase your capacity by 10 to 20%.
Yeah. And don't do a dirty bulk.
If you were a power lifter, I would tell you the opposite. I struggle a lot with the sled pull and pro division. I'm 158 pounds. This is from Maroney. Would you say it's beneficial to move the sleds efficiently at my size? No, you're just not strong enough. I also, if you watch me, guys, I never train sleds. I only put it in my programming because a lot of people do need to get more efficient at that movement. And I think it's important for newbies especially. But if you guys look at my training, what are my coaches and I doing? We're doing heavy, heavy ass pulls. We're doing heavy ass pushes. And guess what? Beating everybody.
Where do you simulate the push if you aren't doing sled push?
What do you mean, dude? Think about it. Split squats.
Like bench press? Okay.
Split squats, lunges. Dude, your leg bending and then extending is not specific. If you look at, I've said this many times, go watch what the number one football players, I'm talking about American football players in the world, do.
A split push is a lunge or a split squat or like a split leg, like staggered deadlift. It's the same thing. You're just taking your body from this direction and you're doing this.
Yeah. If you really look at these guys, for the most part, unless it's an extenuating circumstance, these guys are squatting, doing deadlifts, hang power cleans, less deadlifts and more hang power cleans, to be honest, split lunges. And you're not seeing them push sleds all day long. And you'd assume that that's the thing that they need to do because they're in this, they're in on the field and pushing people around. But if you go into any elite strength training center, they're developing power. And what's the best way to develop power? With basic barbells. Now there's obviously advanced systems like, you know, we got a Vitruvian now. Like there's advanced belt systems and things like that.
I'd love to have that thing at my house.
Yeah. So that right there, like is like a new system, but What you need to do is you need to take basic movements and apply more weight or more speed. That's it. That is the only way that you're going to change this. I see so many people in our space doing just like ski erg, wall ball, burpee, and they're just like constantly doing it. And they're this like in this meaningless gray zone of never developing anything. I'll do lat pull downs and I'll get better at skiing than you do. Okay.
I mean,
oh,
what were you going to say, Ryan? I thought you were going to say something.
No.
No.
Hold on a second. I'm pulling this up. Okay, guys, here we go. You guys ready for about 500 questions? I'm actually impressed. Look at this, dude. It goes on forever.
Nice.
I love it.
I'm still going,
people,
dude.
People want the knowledge. Hit us with a question. Let's go.
Wow. Okay.
Come on, bro. I'm here to party.
We'll let everybody answer this one.
Party with answers.
Thank you for answering. Time, would you recommend it in the base building of Hyrox? Yeah, you can do 20 rep back squat and very, very low endurance speed, like zone one and low zone two, and it will work very well. Okay, you're a lot bigger, Cartabottle. You're a lot bigger than the other guys. Do you think the average body type will cover, will converge over time? What are your guys' opinions?
What was the question again?
I'm a lot bigger than the other guys. Do you assume that our weight's going to converge over time?
I think the more data and the more studying that is going to be evolved, somebody that might be bigger or smaller at the time after they do their research and study, they're going to see what type of body type they're going to need, and then it will transform to that. Whether that is a bigger, bulkier body type or a slender body type, it's going to evolve.
I think it's going to be right in the middle. I think if you're too light, like Hunter's proven time and time again, even at a race, you need power. Like you have to have, you know, of course, the capacity for the time that the race takes, but it is, you're not going to get around it. Like this is why him and I look at different sports, especially Hunter, looking at things like rowing. These guys' capacity is huge, but they are jacked. You can't do that without producing force. And I think the lighter guys will have to gain weight. And if you're big, you're going to have to drop weight at some degree, because there is a point where you can have a race car. You can have what Hunter has is like a Rebel, which is a truck, like a Baja truck. And then you can have an F-250, right? I can take an F-250, take it to a tuning shop and make it super fast off the line. But it's just going to have more torque and power, but it's limited by its overall weight. Mm-hmm. There is a balance that has to happen.
My opinion is that the magic number is going to be 175 to 195. Now, 195 is going to have the advantage, obviously, of power. And, yeah, you know, no one's going to be able to catch somebody like me on a ski erg. Then all of a sudden you look at people like Paleo, who is probably around 175 pounds, maybe 170. And that guy's a sub 9-hour Ironman. And basically his speed and capability is so, like, he's so much more efficient than I am. If you imagine we had to both run a 5-minute mile, it's probably going to cost me an extra almost 20 to 30% energy to get it done.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the factor. So the golden era is going to be between, I think, probably about 5'11 to maybe 6'3", 6'4", maybe 5'10". There's this guy, Eugene, in there who's a little bit shorter even. But I think 5'10 to 6'3", 6'4", going to be that range. It's because taller people, and it's going to be harder for those shorter people. So, you know, middle line, 6 feet. And 175 to 195 pounds. And, you know, I'm the top dog right now, and I'm way above everybody else. If you looked at, you know, basic lines. Like, I think the guys who had the best score in Chicago before me were all about 180 on the dot, give or take 2 to 3 pounds. Fuck. I'm going to go down to the bottom again. It's a half an hour.
No, Nick has not done a Hyrox.
Biggest difference between a Hyrox training and Spartan training. Man, Spartan sucked. Spartan sucked so hard. At the end, my last year of really advanced training for Spartan Race, I was biking about 2 to 3 hours a day and running about 60 to 90 minutes a day. And I only had one gym session a week. Wow. And I was a freak. Like, I set some really serious records in trail races around here in Xterra and things like that that have not been beaten by some insanely high level, like collegiate and pro level runners. And that's cool. Like, it was cool, but fucking A, man, you're literally looking like 15 to 20 hours a week of cardio and less than 2 hours a week in the gym.
Yeah.
But
the big difference is, like, what they were asking is it's the strength training. It's the gym. It's weights.
Yeah.
That's the biggest difference.
Yeah. I mean, it's just power output. I followed you on Strava, but you don't seem to post on there much. Guys, I had my Strava private. Didn't want you guys to see all the cool shit that I was doing.
I don't want you going home and not feeling like a real man.
Yeah. How much running do you take off between races? How much time do you take off of running between races?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. The first week, I'll go out and walk, and I'll get on the bike and just keep it super easy. Maybe do a walk run. But I'm back to just even super short, easy runs probably like a week later.
Yeah,
I'm nothing crazy.
I like to
start
on the bike.
Yeah. I just hop in the pool after and get on the bike.
I'm running the day after on Tuesday if I race on a Saturday. Yeah. Favorite track session while I go pee. Go for it.
Ooh. The non track session.
Favorite track session is the non-track session. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, like, it was just a joke. Like, I don't want to do the track. Like, the
track, yeah. We haven't really done any track sessions together yet, have we?
Mm-mm.
I mean, I do have access.
Well, I mean, the difference is what you're doing is you don't need it.
Yeah.
I mean, not that you don't need it. You can do track sessions. I know people that will do their 1Ks or their, you know, mile repeats. They'll go do them on a track. Mm-hmm. I personally don't like getting on a track unless it's something like an 800 or shorter. So I never go to the track.
Dude.
But if you're doing, like, I remember back when I was much younger and I would go to the gym, I used to love going and doing like anywhere from 10 to 15, 400 meter repeats.
I'm 5x5. If I do 5 minutes, 5 sets of 5 minutes, I absolutely annihilate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul Clark, I think the best thing you could do is spend about 30 days on a bicycle. Low impact, get your oxidative system moving. You know, don't fuck yourself up for the sake of just saying that you went out for a run. Do lots of hikes too. Stairmaster. Yeah. And if you do that for 30 to 60 days, then you can start adding in running. Otherwise, I think people try to jump into stuff too fast. By the way, I have a Stairmaster being delivered at my house tomorrow. This company just contacted me and just dropping off a Stairmaster.
Awesome. Dude, I love Stairmasters.
It's called Stepper, I think.
Oh, is it the one that is like the individual sides?
No. It's like a full-blown, like probably like $3,000 to $5,000 big-ass step machine.
Sick. I remember getting going to the gym, and then after, this is when I used to be on the cycling team. I would post ride and lift, you know, like during the day. I would go to the gym and just throw on a weight vest and just climb stairs and just watch a movie. I just climb stairs and watch a movie. And not fast.
What speed? Just, what speed? Real super slow?
Yeah, like you're just like, I'm carrying groceries up the stairwell to your apartment or something like that. You're not trying to haul ass. It's just like step, step, step. Just watch a TV show or movie and just sit up there for 30 minutes, 45 minutes.
I want to mention something. If you guys are really like into asking all these questions, we have a house Facebook group. You should go and be part of it. That's where we do a lot of our coaching, a lot of our advice. Like, I'll just post random articles and stuff in there, or just like make a video. It's the best way to kind of get these things in if you're not able to get to us. So go check out House Training on Facebook. Okay, so I just looked at that. Someone just asked, am I ever going to run a marathon again? Have you done a marathon, like full-blown marathon, Parker?
Yeah. Why is this making noise while I'm trying to look up questions? This is so fucking annoying. Okay. Well, my phone doesn't want to allow me to read questions without playing something in the background.
I'm only going to go back to marathoning if I run a 542 mile, which is a 230. And a 230 puts me in a position where I basically set the world record for the fastest marathon over 200 pounds.
What's the current record?
It's like 236, 237.
For over 200 pounds?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
There's a lot of these guys that have all this stuff out there where they say, you know, all this stuff, but I could not find any details. Any tips on better sleep? After what I just said, I've got nothing for you. Because I just can't stop waking
magnesium
up with
erections. If melatonin. You're someone like the size of Hunter or myself, who's just a little bit lighter, 400 to 500 milligrams of magnesium before you go to sleep. Especially if you train a lot, it will help stop twitchy legs. It helps cross the brain barrier to more cognitive relaxation or focus for some people, but. I take 400 milligrams of magnesium before I go to sleep and make sure you have plenty of fluids and electrolytes throughout the day. I think a lot of people don't really understand that they struggle with sleep because they either didn't eat enough or they did not hydrate enough and their body is just not working optimally. I mean, it's pretty simple. You know, people get mad at me. They're like, how come you always just ask me, how much water have you had today? And I'm like, well, I have the same fucking question because you give me the same fucking answer all the time. No, I haven't really had that much water today. And I'm like, well, give me something else to start with. It's pretty simple.
This is interesting. So this guy, Dan Adventures, he said, if I was only to buy one product, what you say is the best all around. I started with a hydration product because I realized everyone's so chronically dehydrated. And when you put electrolytes in it and amino acids and taurine, like, it gives you a lot of bang for your buck if you're training really seriously. It's like hydration is the number one performance gainer because you guys will just always be struggling to put more power output out. It shuts down slows down your metabolism. Like, it slows down, it increases your heart rate doing the same amount of work if you're dehydrated. So I recognize that I'm filling these cups up with my powder every single hour of the day and I'm chugging water and I'm fine. Now, that is baseline stuff. Strength X2 is the other product that I would say is just my number one thing. Like, I take that Strength X2 stuff and I'm a fucking tank. I love it.
Yeah. There's a lot of people trying to say that creatine endurance athletes don't need it. They're like, oh, well, it'll bloat you and this and that. I'm like, if you're getting bloated from creatine and you're doing Ironman training, you obviously ain't doing enough because your system should be flushed out. Where being bloated from creatine is the last thing that you need to worry about.
Yeah. What are your guys' opinions on treadmill running versus outside running?
I think there's a time and a place for both. I think a treadmill is great.
Long distance for me, I cannot do more than like 4 or 5 miles on a treadmill. If it's more than 4 or 5, I would say 5+, I have to go outside. If we're below speed work.
Go ahead.
I was just below, you know, speed work and, you know, 2 to 3 miles, I treadmill all day.
Yeah, I literally have been doing I just started doing speed work again and I've been doing it on my treadmill and I put on like Tour de France videos and just rip. But I went outside yesterday and I had this sick run and I was like literally hitting 6 flat miles. I was floating outside and it was so much easier than the treadmill. And I'm like, once you're stuck in the box of that treadmill, it kind of sucks, but I love the grind of it. Watching Tour de France videos and like getting intervals in, fucking A, that's some big dick stuff.
Every winter I go through like a weird series of the bike where I will watch old Lance Tour de France seasons. Like, so good. And then I will watch all of the Hobbits and the Lord of the Rings. And I do all of those. And then, I mean, that right there. And then I just watch a lot of YouTube too. Like, I'll have certain shows that I like bounce around through, but I watch a lot of shows. But I think the treadmill is fantastic, especially if you live in a very hilly area and you just need to do like a steady state where you don't need to walk to go up hills or stuff like that, or the weather. Also, I think it's really good for your stride. I think a very simple workout that I love programming people is something as simple as you have your zone two pace. And the only thing you do is you alternate between a 1.5% incline, which is flat on the treadmill, to a 6% incline for 6 minutes, recover at flat for three, and just keep repeating. And you're like, holy shit. And that workout catches up with you every time. And then when you go back to the flat road.
Weapon.
Yeah, it's awesome.
How much should you train and rest a week in the week before a Hyrox solo race by Louis Boxing? Probably like 50 to 40% volume, if that. You know, obviously you're taking out days of training, which makes a big difference. But then, you know, if you're going to do a 90-minute bike ride, go out for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to do a session of strength that's going to take you about 45 minutes, go in for 25. Yeah. And just, like, move the weights, keep it going. But you don't need volume because you're not going to really get any stronger. You're going to spike your system, and it will take you longer to recover and then try to go again. It's like, it's not necessary.
Yeah. Keep your intensity high. If you're doing like 80% weight the week before, keep it 75-80% that week. But like Hunter said, just reduce your volume and do not eat less week of. Just because you're doing less volume, you're like, oh, I don't need as much food because I need to worry about the way my figure looks. Don't do that. You're trying to recover. You're trying to get every adaptation that you possibly can, especially during that recovery week, that deload week. So don't eat less. Let your body refill, fill your glycogen, be ready for race day.
Oh, fuck. That was a good stretch. Who's the most savage fitness person?
I thought it was complimenting what I said.
No. No. Who's the most savage person you have in your fitness circle? Man, like, I really like, when I think back at the people that were the craziest people I ever trained with, Jacob Heppner, I think about Chandler Smith. I like Sam Dancer. He's just insanely strong.
I don't know him, but I follow him.
Probably the most insane person I've ever met, the most talented, unstoppable human being I've ever met, is a girl named Rory Bozio. Like, she dropped out of running in her peak, and if she stuck around, she probably could have won UTMB. Like, she won it twice. She probably could have won it, like, five more times. She is insane. She beat us in every race. She was – there's nobody like Rory Bozio. Nobody. Just unstoppable. We'd be done with races, and I'd be dying, and she's like, I'm going to go for a bike ride. Like, what? what do you mean?
That's like the shit where you hear of, like, Dennis Rodman, like, after a game, you, like, go get on the Stairmaster or the treadmill for like another 45 minutes to an hour. Or guys talk about Jerry Rice back in the day, like, after a football practice or whatever, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna go do 8 miles. And they're like, what? Why? But
is Jordan still around or alive? Who's Jordan?
Jordan.
What are your best books in sport?
Me?
Yeah.
I have a... Oh, dude, where is it? Let me... Hold on. I'm going to go grab it.
Yeah, I would say I'm Here to Win is a really good one. I would say... Those.
Yes.
Yeah, he's Love really good.
Without Limits by Chrissy Wellington is really good. She's a 4-time Ironman world champ. If you really want anything that is going to put an insight into any military special operations training, anything by Dick Couch.
Dick Couch. I like that name.
Yeah, dude, he's a novelist. He did, he's done a bunch of books, and he goes into each special operations pipeline on how these guys go through the program and what they experience. It's amazing.
That's cool. I think also, like, I like books. Like, I'm reading about Genghis Khan right now. I read that kind of stuff because, admittedly, I do like reading about the volume. I do like the Tour de France books, like anything to do with Lance Armstrong, like probably the most impressive endurance athlete in the history of time. It is, by far.
Yeah.
He's so, like, his stuff. But I like more of the Magellan, Genghis Khan, Winston Churchill kind of stuff, because those people were doing things that are, like, intellectually on a level, and I can't even fathom.
Yeah.
Higher intelligence training.
Dude, I've had this book for about 20 years. Chapter 1, History and Philosophy of High Intensity Training. This is essentially Mike Mincer.
Yeah.
This talks about all that kind of shit, and this book was given to me by a friend when I was like 19. And so I started doing all of this slow, you know, like negative and positive on concentric and eccentric movements, and, like, you know, assisted stuff, like, you know, assisting up, you know, just having people just hold the bar. So you're just in, like, this iso contraction. You're just like, ah, and then they let their hands go, and then boom. And then it's like, okay, rep it out. And you're just sitting there doing, like, these big monster sets. You'd be fucking wrecked. And all of a sudden, dude, after like months of doing that, my strength.
Yeah.
It was probably the strongest pound for pound I had ever been in my life.
Oh, dude, I did that this summer while I was doing Ironman. I was doing all those, like, super intense high rep things, and it was just back to back, one movement, one set, next movement, one set, next movement, one set. And I was done in like 10 to 12 minutes. And I started to just look at my muscles, and there was like, boo, 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 boo. It was like,
I remember grabbing, like, the bar and, like, okay, we're doing bench press, and just sit there and just rep out nice, slow, 2 second, like, you know, 2 seconds up, 2 second down, just bench press, then hold. And you're just like, and then your friend would let go, and you're up. And then another one, you're like, and then right when you think it's going negative, you're like, okay, I can't even hold a 45 pound bar. They would sit there and just help you rep it out for like another 20, 30 reps. And you're like, you're just done on the bench. You're like, I can't pick my nose. Like, if somebody had a gun to my head, you'd be like, just shoot me. I'm not moving. I don't care. And you can't move your chest. And then, like, 3 days later, your chest is still like, I hurt.
I think it's a great way to train. I think it's a great way
and
to
you
train.
Don't really heavy gain duty, any, yeah, heavy you duty don't gain any great size. Point. You don't gain any size. You just every fiber of your muscles just gets destroyed. But yeah, it's called Higher Intelligence Training by Johnston, and this thing is amazing.
Luke's here. Miss that, homie. Miss him. If you had to pick a sport outside of hybrid sport, what would you pick, Parker?
I could be the best at anything.
Just pick a sport you compete in. I can't guarantee you that you're going to be the best.
Oh, I thought this was like fantasy world. Like, if you could be the best at anything, I'd be a race car driver. 100%. I would love to go and just race Le Mans.
It's an endurance sport, dude. Got to pick an endurance sport. We all wish we were driving race cars.
All right. Shit. Professional eater? I don't know. If I'm not allowed to do anything.
No, it has to be an endurance sport. You could
that
run.
That is an endurance sport.
The car
Le Mans is an endurance sport. It's a 24-hour race.
I know. But that's not, like, really – it's not the vein that we're talking about, even though I find it to be impressive. All right, listen, you can have your car thing. I'm just sitting here, like, trying to create boundaries for no fucking reason. I don't even know why I brought it up.
No. An endurance or I don't know. Probably just be a professional cyclist.
Yeah, I would do biking.
I would do cycling, or I still want to go to the Olympics for canoeing. Like 2028, we get one spot, and hopefully by then I'm making so much money, I'm just going to hire the national team coach and be like, you live with me now. You live
That'd
with
be
me
awesome.
Now, and we paddle every day.
I'm hiring Johan. I'm going to call Lance and I'm like, I need the whole old crew.
Yeah.
Like, I need everybody that was, so let's go.
Okay.
And then I'd call George Hincappy and just go live at his hotel for like 6 months.
Is that in Tennessee?
Carolina.
South Carolina. Yeah, actually, I went over there. It
yeah,
is
hotel down South the street. I would love to go stay there.
Leg day for a runner. I would say some pulls and some split squats and then some accessory work to work on your like outer glutes because they're going to get really, really weak from doing so much running. You're good.
Monster walks. Warm up with monster walks. All that kind of shit. It's great. Doing backwards. And then whether people for some reason want to shit on people for saying it's not a full rep. As a runner, overload, do quarter squats.
Yeah. Quarter squats are the fucking shit. What's a rest day look like for you?
Don't do shit. Oh, this is my influencer recovery day. I go in and then I do yoga and then I do this. It's like, don't do shit. Just don't do shit. Like,
this guy just wanted to know.
Yeah.
God, sorry.
Just rest. Just rest.
Yeah. But putting boundaries on what you do or like putting shape on it is already putting you in the wrong direction. Bro, how do you bulk and increase the height? I don't know. There's no fucking way to increase the height, but how to bulk? Well, first of all, I will say like anybody who tries to create shape to a bulk is doing it wrong. Increasing calories is the only way to properly bulk. People say dirty bulk, things like that. Your body, even though so many dickheads on the internet are going to tell you otherwise, your body's not really sitting there and saying, oh, you ate a gummy bear or versus sweet potato. Like, sure, there's more ideal times to have those things because of the version of the glycemic index. But in reality, you need calories. You need calories to gain mass. More mass, more calories means more mass. Less calories means less mass. It's a simple equation. Most people can't even solve that. All you have to do is just eat. You know, what I try to do is I try to have obviously a lot higher carbs and a lot higher protein. Those are the most important values. A lot of people you're going to see are eating things like with just such high fat content in them, where often it's the least valuable calorie metric that you need to focus on. So other than that, if you can just pull that off, you're already in a really good place.
Just increase your protein. Say you want to gain 20 pounds. Eat an extra 20 grams of protein a day and increase your carbohydrates by 100. Just start with that. Just start with that and see what happens over 3 weeks. And if you need more, increase it. If you need more, increase it.
All right, guys, we're at the end of the questions. We're at the hour. A couple things I want to talk about. I don't want to forget about this. We have our live show for the Vienna race going off at, I believe, so they're going off at 6:50, so they're 9 hours ahead of us. So that looks like we're going off at 9:50.
9 a.m. Yeah.
We're going to be going off at 9:50. We'll probably start our show at 9:30. Okay? If you guys are a fan of Hyrox, they're going to be broadcasting it digitally, and then we are going to be doing all of the, the color commenting. So we are way more fun than the people that they're going to have on there. Let's just be honest. You can't beat this team. We bring the best resources. We bring the best party. We're going to be chugging non-alcoholic beer, sucking down coffee,
brewing, baby.
Hanging out.
I need to order the More Go Brewing. That shit is so good, dude.
You know what?
I have tried every single one of their IPAs, and it is amazing.
You know what? I really like is Savage Light. It's like the core. Savage Light is a Go Brewing, but
it's actually good. I normally do not like light beer at all, and their light beer was actually pretty good. But I love IPA, and their IPAs taste fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the Sunshine State.
You guys heard it here.
Really,
you got to go get the stuff. So, guys, make sure that you show up 9:30, and we're gonna be broadcasting for about 2 hours, and we're gonna give you guys the best resources possible. to watch the sport, have a good time. Jordan Wisely is not around anymore. Jordan Wisely became a race car driver. He used to be one of my training partners, and now he's this most savage pussy that I know. He shows up to bike rides and then just hangs out in the back of the pack until all of a sudden he isn't with us anymore. Jordan, if you're watching this, dude, I remember when you used to be a beast. Now you're a bitch. must suck to hear that, brother. But I only say these kind of things to get my friends elevated. So hopefully he hears it and believes in it and wants to step out of it. Other than that, guys, hoodies, you've only got 14 days to buy these things. We're not bringing it back. And unfortunately, guys, we can't make any exceptions. Once the printing press is open, they make the stitches. We can't just have them be like, hey, can you throw an extra hoodie in? No. So we have to buy all these things, set it all up. So we appreciate you guys supporting Biceps Run Races and Builder Sports hoodies. And we've got our water bottles in stock. So whatever you guys are looking for, get after it. Have a blast.
Hey, the pink ones, right?
Yeah, the pink ones. They're just shipping to the U.S. Other than that,
I need to order some more of those.
If you are training hard and you want to get the best results, put the best products in your body. I don't have to tell you guys twice. I created a company for this exact reason. Go check out Builder Sports at BuilderInternational.com. And if you guys are looking to train for a Hyrox, we had a lot of people come in here, OCI included, saying, hey, how do I do this? We have everything built out for Hyrox athletes inside of our company, housetraining.com. If you guys got weak little legs, go do the 20 rep back squat program. If you're looking to build a sick, well-rounded engine, go do our house pro program. If you just want to get better at running, we have programs for that. We have OCR. Things that are just for beginners also. So whatever you guys are interested in, go check out the websites. We've worked very hard on this to provide for the community, and we absolutely love doing it. Parker is one of our coaches, so you guys will always see him in there. Myself, check out the Facebook group. Ryan is always helping out with everything that we orchestrate in the company. Luke, go to buildersports.com. Everybody, if you want the hoodies, buildersports.com. I'll be posting it constantly. It's in the product section, all over the top. They're fucking fresh to death, dude. And we appreciate you guys supporting. We'll do our best to give back whenever you guys are giving forward. So, thug love. I'll see you bitches later.
Later, boys.